Well, hello, it is good to be with you again, and it's great to be able to meet with our Lord. And in these days that we live in and the circumstances of our lives, we need Him more than ever. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, again, thank you for inviting us, O God, into your presence, Lord, to know you, Lord, to receive your grace to help in time of need. And O Lord, as we're here this morning, we thank you, O God, that you want us to know you, and that you've invited us to seek your face. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord. Father, give us understanding of your word and your ways. And O Lord God, may we know you and may we experience you drawing near to us in this time as well. Speak, move, let us grow in your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it seems every week as we keep up with the news that the condition of our nation becomes more desperate, more dark. And no doubt we have circumstances in our lives that trouble us, concern us, worry us, or at least feel the burden of responsibility. And we look at all this and we think, how can we find peace and strength for facing these things? And so, you know, we're not the first to be weighted down with that. David faced such circumstances. And yet, as we turn once more to Psalm 4, we think about what David was able to experience in the midst of personal problems and in the midst of national problems. He was able to say in Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." In the midst of everything going on, David had that peace, that joy, that security. And we look at David and we think, well, what did David know? What did David do? What is it that we need to learn from David? Well, as we began looking at this psalm last week, we saw, first of all, that David knew about God's grace. That is, God giving to us and doing for us what we have not earned, do not deserve, and can never repay. First of all, beginning in salvation through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. But that is only the beginning. How much more will he do for us once we've been reconciled unto him through Jesus Christ? But not only do we see God's grace, we see God's faithfulness. Whether you study the scriptures or you look back on your own life, God has never failed and will never fail. As we said last week with the baseball, God bats 1,000 and always has. Also, we saw last week God's love, his eternal, immeasurable, never-ending love for us and how we can rest in that. But then we continue on this week, and we see number 4, God's invitation. You think of what we read when we look at the last part of verse 3. The Lord hears when I call to him. And that's not just an assurance that David had. It's really a promise and an assurance that we have from God. One of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." You think about the components of that verse. God says, "Call me." It would be as if the President of the United States gave you his cell phone number. Not the number at the White House where you had to go through the switchboard, but his personal number. And not only that, but he says, "Call me and I will answer you." It would be as if the President says, "I'm going to answer you. It's not going to, your call is not going to go to voicemail. And I don't care who else I'm meeting with. I don't care if I'm meeting with the Congress, with a congressional delegation. I don't care if I'm meeting with the cabinet. I don't care if I'm meeting with diplomats or even heads of foreign states. I don't care if I'm meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. When you call me, I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to do wonderful things in your life. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." We come to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And we're told to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and help in time of need. God invites us to come to him. And so we have God's wonderful invitation. But we also need to focus on God's greatness. That is who this God is. You think about what David was inspired to write and to pray in verses 4 and 5. "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still," Selah, which means to stop and to think. "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." You think about the elements of that. He said, tremble. This great God that we're before, you think about who he is. Unlimited, holy, perfect, sovereign, unlimited in every way. You think about the God that we are before. What is any problem that you or I have in comparison to such a God? Meditate. That is, let His person be the foundation of your thinking. Yes, we see the problems and the adversities of the world, and I'm not saying that we just ignore those or put our heads in the sand, but I'm saying we look at them from the perspective of who God is. What are such things in comparison to an unlimited and sovereign God? He talks about offering the sacrifices of righteousness. What else can we do but to walk in obedience unto our Lord and in devotion to such a God? Trust in Him. What can He not do? The greatness of God. Nothing changes our thinking, our perspective, our attitude, like looking at the greatness of who God is. Do you remember Isaiah 6? As the chapter began there, Isaiah was deeply troubled. Uzziah was dead. And he was worried, he was troubled. And yet what did God reveal to him? He saw God high and lifted up. Yes, King Uzziah was dead. God was alive. A limited earthly king was dead, but an unlimited eternal king was still upon his throne and still ruling and reigning. We need to see the Lord. You know, we teach children the blessing many times. You know, it begins, God is great. And sometimes we smile and children say that. My friend, that is solid theology that will change our life. Nothing will change our life more than looking at it from the viewpoint of an unlimited great God. And our God is great beyond our comprehension. But not only do we have God's greatness, but we also have God's goodness. This great unlimited God, part of His very nature and character, His attribute, if you will, is the fact that He is a God who is good. I think about what we read in verse 6. David asked the question. He's repeating the question. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Who will show us any good? Well, David gives the answer. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord, for you've put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. How can we not trust one who is good by his very nature? Again, you think about that blessing we teach children. God is great. God is good. And yeah, we smile when they say that. And we think, oh, isn't that sweet? And you women say, isn't that precious? The reality is, that is solid theology. Biblical theology. And nothing will change our life more than knowing the greatness of God and the very goodness of God. And how our life would be changed from the inside out if we truly understood, grasped, and lived out those truths. But not only do we have that, those things, we also have God's nearness. You think about what David was inspired to write in verse 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Why? Because God was with them. We will never fully have God's peace and strength if our comprehension of Him is merely such as He's up there. Well, now surely, yes, God is upon His throne. He is sovereign. But my friend, and yes, the Son is beside the Father, always interceding for us, but His Spirit is within us once we've accepted Christ as our Savior. And as He has promised in Matthew 28, He tells us that He is with us always, even to the end of the age. He promised us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will never have a single second of any moment, of any hour, of any day where God is not with you, believer. You're not alone. That circumstance that you're in now, you're not in it alone. Our Lord is with you, present, always working, great and good. He is all that we need. And because of Him, like David, we can live in confidence, security, peace, even joy, even in the midst of problems, because of who He is. Let's go to Him in prayer. O Lord God, we praise You. Father, when we look at the circumstances many times in our lives, with the problems, the worries, the burdens, the needs, We look at the circumstances of this world, Father, many times. Oh, Lord God, we're just completely overwhelmed and demoralized. Oh, God, like David, turn our heart, our focus unto you. And in you may we rest. And, oh, God, in you may we experience your wonderful love and security and joy and peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful God that we have, and I hope that you have a great day in Him.